part of the results I've done during my PhD thesis will be presented here. And also thanks to all other groups working on that topic, making it much more interesting, especially Perimeter group and group in Brussels. So as a warm-up, let us take a look at and consider very fairly simple wave equation posed on a finite interval with Dirichlet boundary conditions. And let's first of all consider its linearization. We know how to solve it. We decompose solution into some functions which satisfy our boundary conditions. Then we can define energies, energy of a given mode. And because this is linear when g is zero, this will be just constant over time. So the question is, what will happen if we will turn on nonlinearity? So then you will no longer expect that Ej will be constant over time, and you will be interested how solutions behave when you start with some smooth initial data. It seems to be a non-trivial task, even though the equation is fairly simple. There is no proof that ground state is stable or not for m squared equals zero. More is known when m squared is some number, but we do not know the answer, and I think we have a proof that there are time periodic solutions for that system, but not much is known about their properties, how do they look like, etc. So this is a little bit like a warm-up problem if you want to work on that. I highly recommend to look at that problem, because in ADS, it's more like this, more or less the same. So because we know that ADS, which is a maximally symmetric solution to Einstein equation with negative cosmological constant, is not globally hyperbolic space. So in order to define evolution, you need to prescribe boundary data on a conformal boundary. So it's more or less the same problem. So here I've given the metric of ADS in d plus one dimensions. So we see that this is conformal to Einstein cosmos. We will use this property later on. So you can also in ADS prescribe other other parameterization, so you end up with Poincaré coordinates. But it's for questions like whether ADS is stable or not, to study its properties, global properties, it's better suited to use those global coordinates. So motivation to consider ADS comes probably from mainly from ADS CFT correspondence. But this is more general question regarding general relativity. So you consider small perturbations of some of its solutions, and you ask what is happening. We know that De Sitter and Minkowski spaces are stable, but nothing is known rigorously about ADS. So this question may be asked, as I've introduced you, and it may be considered in a broader setup. So mainly you just ask, what's the long time evolution of conservative systems? So if you forbid energy to escape to infinity, what will happen? If there are time periodic solutions, how do they look like, and what's the general dynamics? Of course, you may probably heard about critical collapse. It seems to be much more complicated problem in ADS, as I will say a few slides later on, than in asymptotically flat scenario. But it's also very challenging problem if you do numerics. Doing numerics in ADS, it's much more demanding than in asymptotically flat spaces. So in order to tackle this problem, we may consider the simplest possible setup we may think of. So 1+1 dimensional problem. So in order to do this, let us couple Einstein equations with minimally coupled massless scalar field. Let's consider spherical symmetric perturbations of ADS. So let's take the simplest possible generalization of ADS metric. We'll introduce two functions, A and delta. Just plug them into the equations of motion, and we'll end up with minimal set of fairly simple equations of motion for matter and for metric functions. So in order to attack this problem, let us consider first a propagation of scalar field on a fixed background. So let us set A to 1 and delta to 0. So we'll consider this equation first. So this is a linear wave equation. We know how to solve it. We can solve eigenvalue problem on ADS. Here it's solutions. And we will learn from that ADS is linearly stable because these are integer numbers, real numbers, in terms of that these are integers. So we know how to write down, we can write down linear solution for scalar wave equation on a fixed ADS background. But there is a problem, of course, if you do perturbative analysis or if you will solve this problem numerically, nonlinear problem on a computer. So please note that these are integer numbers and the spectra is non-dispersive, meaning that nonlinear couplings of these linear modes will probably lead to resonances, and resonances are dangerous, if I will show you in a couple of slides. So for non-dispersive spectra, resonances are dangerous because if we will, so for example, why these are dangerous? So if we will consider such a false linear oscillator, if the Fossig term will be oscillating with a frequency of this natural frequency of this oscillator, we will have a linear growth in time. So in that case, in the case of ADS, the spectra is fully resonant. So there we may expect many more resonances than in a case when the spectra is not fully resonant. Such an example is if you consider Young-Mills propagating on an Einstein universe. So there is much less, the number of resonances is greatly reduced by the property that the spectra is dispersive there. But I would like to stress out that resonances should not be only attributed to the full, whether the spectra is fully resonant or not, because whenever this F0 is zero, you won't get this linear growth. So this is much more complicated than just saying whether spectra is dispersive or non-dispersive. So in order to do the evolution, as I said before, we need to specify what is happening on a conformal boundary. So in case of a scalar field in ADS, you may consider there is no freedom to prescribe boundary conditions. You will need to be careful about what your field behaves close to the boundary. It, of course, this behavior depends on spatial number of spatial dimensions. Its expansion close to the boundary is different in whenever D is odd or even. So that system is well posed, so we can at least try to solve it on a computer. And in order to do this, we use, say, standard scheme in numerical relativity. So we use either finite difference discretization with a Runge-Kutta for advancing in time or to integrate constraints. We will probably Since we expect those resonances to occur, so transfer of energy to higher modes, we will need fairly high resolution. So a brute force is to just add as many points as you can. The other approach is to use some adaptive algorithm, and probably you will need to use some parallelization in order to not to wait too long. But there is other approach when you expect that the field behaves smoothly. You can use the spectral methods, which are highly efficient. You expand your fields and into some bases, and then you will get ODEs in time for expansion coefficient. And it's advantageous to use symplectic method, which we preserve the structure of your equations and will conserve energy. And by the way, the mass of this solution can be written as a sum of such an expression. So I'm taking this and I'm projecting on the mode J. I'm taking a square root similar here, and it turns out that for this model, particular model, total mass is given as a simple sum, and we'll just in that particular model we will just say that this is energy deposit in the mode AJ. And what you will see is that if you prescribe some initial data here at time equals zero, the pulse will go to the boundary, bounce off, go implode into the center, etc., etc., and finally at some time it will collapse. Then, since you are interested in long time evolution, I mean, in answering the question whether arbitrarily small initial data will finally collapse or not, you will just repeat this experiment by decreasing amplitude of initial data. And the outcome of this is this conjecture by Bizon and Rosforowski in 2011 that ADS is unstable against black hole formation under arbitrary small perturbations. And the second part of this conjecture is that there are perturbations for which turbulent behavior is not active. So here I'm presenting data for five dimensions, for spatial dimensions. So here I'm plotting a quantity evaluated at the origin. So this is proportional to Ricci scalar. And here is rescaled time by epsilon squared, which is an amplitude of initial data. It turns out that this curve just converges whenever we decrease the mass. And finally, there is some universal time given here for this set of initial data, which in the limit is just some finite number. And so this is just an extrapolation that whenever you decrease amplitude, you just need to long a little bit longer. And the second property of this turbulent behavior is, of course, transfer of energy from low to high frequency modes, and this can be quantified by looking at energy spectra. And it turns out that right before the black hole formation, we will see in four spatial dimensions characteristic power law behavior. And the reason for that behavior is just that we have those secular terms arising in perturbative approach. So this was independently confirmed by considering complex scalar field and the massive scalar field in ADS. But yes. So you are thinking about this Bianchi 9 ansatz like that.
So it, I mean, in that case, you get basically a scalar field with a little bit of potential.
With some potential, yes.
Is the same, more or less picture?
More or less, yes. Yes, so I would just, in the end, comment on that. So, yes. Behavior is more or less the same. But this is not the end of story. So you can just take your initial data, parameterize it by some amplitude, and just plot horizon radius if it collapses, or mass of black hole. And here is what you will get. Here is an amplitude of initial data, and here is a branch where your data, you meet your spacing almost immediately forms a black hole. Here is a branch where you form a black hole after one bounce from conformal boundary, etc. Two bounces, three bounces, four bounces. It's not a surprise that when we consider, when we fine-tune our initial amplitude, that at those points we will see critical collapse and critical phenomena in this famous result by Chopwick. So the mass will scale as a power law, and this exponent will be universal at each of those branches. But what's I found it fascinating is that those guys confirmed that the mass here, there is a mass gap, which is not universal, but the scaling close to that point seems to be universal, at least for those two or three cases. So this was repeated then for Minkowski in the box. So you just prescribe the Dirichlet boundary condition in a flat space, and the scaling exponent was slightly different. So there is a question whether global properties of your space-time play a role, how to understand this critical behavior here, if it is at all critical. Those simulations are highly demanding. So this is definitely something we should look more carefully at. So I always wondering why we don't try to invent some method which will be helpful for those simulations. And I've managed to do some, I mean, it's not perfect, but at least I was hoping that it will work. So my motivation was to just, because I do not really like this AMR method. It's highly complicated. You need to store different grids. It's adaptive mesh refinement. It's basically hierarchy of grids with finer and finer resolution. This is an old algorithm by Berger and Oliger. But as an alternative, I thought that maybe, I mean, just this AMR is too complicated. Just simplify the thing and then just look at the simpler methods. So the idea is just to have one grid, but where one logical grid where points will be moving. And the idea is that let's just distribute points by taking some density function, which will be positive, and just distribute this function over each element of our computational grid so that such an integral is constant. So this uniquely determines your position of grid points, and you can just use it every few time steps to adapt your grid to your dynamical solution. In addition, I found that it's useful to change a time coordinate, and as a test problem, I've took minimally coupled self-gravitating massless scalar field in ADS. But it wasn't working at all. So what I could do with that is I could only repeat this critical behavior before a scalar field reached the external boundary. So you see those echoes on a finer and finer scales. Here it's not very visible because I've just used this computational time, which made the solution slightly smoothed, but you can see that the points are moving closer to the origin where resolution is needed. So, but do we really need computers to handle this problem of stability of ADS? Maybe not. If we look carefully at the and use the perturbative approach, as I said, that there will be just if so. Let us assume that we will let us just try to do the simplest possible perturbative analysis. So we will assume that our scalar field is small. Let's assume that it has that power expansion in some small parameter. We know how to solve linear wave equation on ADS, but if we will go to higher orders, we will find that there are secular terms no matter what we do, and this will just destroy our solution. It won't be uniformly bounded in time. So the idea is pretty simple. Just take your first order approximation, and instead of taking constant coefficient here, let them just depend on this slow time tau. And when we plug this into the equation, and we require that this phi free is uniformly bounded, so there are no secular terms, so we remove all the resonances, we'll get just such a condition for alpha. There will be free terms in principle. And this was derived by parameter group in 2014, then just independently rederived by group in Brussels. And the nice thing, they showed that they explicitly showed that these conditions, these coefficients are zero. So in particular in ADS, this system is fairly simple. We just need to deal with first term here. The advantage of this system is that we can solve it once for a given initial data. And since it has such a scaling symmetry, we can really probe infinitely small amplitude solutions, and that this system will describe slow energy exchange between the modes. This system has a few nice properties. It has free constant of motion. It's very nice. But the most important thing from what we've learned about this system is that it has solution which became singular in finite time. And this singular solution is Gover's generic blow up. So how is it possible? So we started from some initial data, which for alpha, and we saw that immediately after we started some evolution, that energy was transferred to higher and higher modes. And what's more, when we look at the oscillation frequency, it turns out that it was rapidly growing. So in order to understand this phenomenon, we use fairly old method, analysis-strip method, used to check whether solutions to equations became singular became singular. So the idea is that you extend your real solution into the complex plane, and you analyze its Fourier coefficients here, in that case, AM. And whenever there is some singularity on a complex plane and it's going closer to real line, the properties of those singularities will be encoded in the Fourier coefficients. So we took this simple ansatz, and this raw is called analysis-strip width. So if it goes to zero, we will see a polynomial tail. And this is what was happening close to this oscillatory singularity, which we got this tail. And a feed to that data over time showed us that this exponent was more or less 2. It's here. And this analysis radius was going straight to 0. And there was equally important property that those phases here were linearly were behaving linearly in index j during whole evolution. So in order to understand this behavior and more or less predict how those phases behave here in time. We just looked at this resonant approximation, and we just took the dominant contribution. So it turns out that this equation just tells nothing. But if we look at this equation and we just forget about this term, which it was too long to put it here, and we will consider this term only. And if we will plug our ansatz for aj with 2 and rho, we'll get that this sum behaves like this. So it's divergent if t goes to t star. So from that we got that the phases should blow up logarithmically over time. And here is just a confirmation fit, and the dots are represent the data. So how this corresponds to a full solution to Einstein equation? So here again, I'm plotting quantity, which is just the Ricci scalar evaluated at the origin. Here is this rescaled time. I'm plotting two things, solution to Einstein equation here, blue and red, for smaller amplitudes. And I'm also plotting a solution to this resonance system with increasing number by taking more and more modes. So we see that this resonant approximation, which is third order approximation, fairly well just describes this blow up of Ricci scalar at the origin when the black hole forms. So please note that there is almost 6 order of magnitudes. So how this is possible? We do not have secular terms, but those phases, I mean, their derivatives just blow up whenever we go to with this rescale time to this tau star, which depends on the data. So then we extended this analysis for higher dimensions, and we found that this behavior is fairly universal and that the phases will blow up logarithmically in higher dimensions. So, but we do not really understand where to get this exponent, why this has to be d over 2. This is just a numerical observation. But this is not the end of the story. We can use this resonance system to probably predict whether some initial data will collapse or not. So to put this story short, we just took two-mode initial data, minimal set of initial data, which showed this turbulent behavior. And we just solve this system. And here I'm plotting this parameter mu, which is here, versus the time of oscillatory blow up. So there is certainly some range when we can expect some combination of those two modes where we can expect this oscillatory behavior. But for larger parameters, we can see that this initial data set just reduces to single mode, either this one or this one. So there were studies of this resonance system which were looking at stationary solutions, and it turns out that for single mode initial data there are just those trivial stationary solutions, but there are also non-trivial ones where all modes are active. And there is problem, I think, I mean, not a problem. There is a question, what role do those stationary solution, more generic one, play in non-linear, fully non-linear evolution? So in order to understand more, I mean, get an understanding of this resonance system, it's quite complicated. I'm not even giving you expression for those coefficients. We just look at some simple models where those coefficients are simple and whether we can learn something about it. So the simplest case you can consider, just put all the coefficients to 1, and you will learn that mathematicians were heavily looking at such problems, and that this, say, resonant system corresponds to so-called cubic Sega equation. And a lot is known about this system. It's integrable. It has a lot of finite dimensional invariant subspaces. There is an example of weak and strong turbulent behavior within this system. So just by looking at this system, we took something which will have, at least in its name, ADS. So we looked at the conformally invariant cubic wave equation on not ADS, but Einstein cylinder. And this turns out that resonant approximation for this equation, if you rescale this variable phi in that way, will be just such a fairly simple system. And we analyze its solution, and the details are given. I'm not going to go into details how it works. If you are interested, then just look at that paper. But still, even though we learn a lot looking at those simple problems, questions about ADS are still open. How to derive this this exponent in energy spectra? Can we predict a priori before even starting evolution whether this class of initial data will collapse or not? These are all open problems. So let me just skip the subject and just analyze discuss time periodic solutions. So I said at the beginning that there are classes of initial data which form a black hole and for which we see no black hole at all. So one expectation is that these initial data which will not form a black hole will just lie on call it stability island around such time periodic solutions. So how is it possible that we have time periodic solutions at all? It turns out that if you look at the perturbative expansion and just assume that this time periodic solution will be just single mode at the lowest possible level, you can add something here and maintain time periodicity. So you can do this by doing perturbative analysis. So here it how it goes. You just expand your field and the metric in a certain way, and you just it's advantageous to rescale time and say that capital omega will be just a frequency of time periodic solution, and at the lowest order it will be a frequency of your chosen mode, so you fix gamma. And the crucial part of this construction is just you need to solve inhomogeneous wave equation on ADS. So you just assume that your solution at a given order lambda is given as a finite combination of eigenmodes. And if you plug this into this inhomogeneous wave equation, you will find that there will be cases where this left-hand side will cancel out just precisely because there are resonances. So you will need to put right-hand side to zero. And you will do this because you can freely choose your initial data. And if you do this, you will find that at a given order, just you will need to take some special combination, and this will be fixed numbers. And this is precisely possible to do to start from single mode here, because there is this exceptional constellation of resonant turns, which was shown by Brassel's group. The same case is for a massive case, but You can also use the numerics to solve for these time periodic solutions. So you assume certain form, certain expansion for scalar field, and similar way for the metric. You plug them in, and you will find that what you're actually looking at is nonlinear eigenvalue problem, where these are your variables, and the eigenvalue is just frequency of this time periodic solution you are looking for. And here are results. If we were using, because we were using spectral methods, we got fast decay with a number of coefficients, which were depending on, of course, amplitude of this time periodic solution, of mode on which we were constructing them, and this convergence rate, of course, depends on a number of dimensions. Here is what they are looking like. For small amplitude, these are just a trivial. They look almost like a single mode. But if you increase amplitude, they will be more fancy. We just saw that for each eigenmode, you can construct a family of time periodic solutions. Here it's mass. There is a problem of definition of your amplitude. If you choose it correctly, you will see that you can continue a priori this family up to infinity. But of course, there is a problem of lack of resolution. And you will see that this perturbative approach and numerics agrees perfectly, almost perfectly. And the most important part is that these time periodic solutions seems to be nonlinearly stable. So here, what I'm plotting is just a curve in a phase space spanned by this coefficients. And the blue curve is just time periodic orbit, and the gray one is just some arbitrary perturbation. So here, this is similar experiment to the one made by Bisson and Rosworowski. So what I'm considering here is initial data, not some arbitrary perturbation, but of ideas, but arbitrary perturbation of time periodic solution. And what I see that there is no growth over a long time of Ricci scalar. And I'm also looking at how the mass is conserved over time, which is a measure of my accuracy. And we found that there are stable and unstable solutions, time periodic solutions. If you consider solution to the left of a mass maxima, those will be stable, and those to the right will be unstable and will form a black hole almost immediately. So here is an illustration of evolution of perturbed unstable time periodic solution. Here is again quality checks of our numerics, so convergence of mass and constraints. This is fairly interesting. To go outside spherical symmetry and to ask what will be similar and whether there will be differences. And what we know, just what Paul asked, that you consider this ansatz, and within it you will find this similar behavior, turbulence and time periodic solutions at all. What is the most interesting though is that a construction of geons by Oscar Diaz, Gary Horowitz, and George Santos reported recently that what they just consider is vacuum perturbations of ADS. And this problem reduces to again, solving just inhomogeneous wave equation. Here is just Lichnerovich operator on ADS. And what they find is that there are cases where they can extend some solution to nonlinear orders, and there are cases where they cannot extend them. So this is very interesting to look at this, why this is happening. They're also reported that they can construct those solutions numerically using so-called de Turek method, so which reduces to solving Einstein de Turek equations for a given given vector. So this just fixes your gauge choice. And this is just solving nonlinear PDEs on compact domains. Another aspect of ADS is, of course, looking at black holes in ADS. So we know at least that there are initial data which collapse to black holes. So what's the end state? Of course, of that instability. Of course, the obvious candidate in spherical symmetry is Schwarzschild ADS, which is stable. But what happens outside spherical symmetry is quite often a problem because Kerr ADS is unstable. There is an issue of superradiance. ADS, because of its conformal structure, is natural candidate to consider superradiance setups. There is, of course, I'm expecting highly non-trivial dynamics when we put black holes in ADS. It would be extremely interesting to look at those all asymptotically ADS solutions in higher dimensions, lumpy black holes, black rings, black bells, etc. Of course, there is quite a lot of interest in ADS CFT and those collisions of shocks in ADS, and many more, I think, to come. So let me just start concluding. So is ADS stable? You show some results, but these were highly restricted. It would be very interesting to go and see what's happening outside spherical symmetry. The main evidence is just by looking at those scalings in spherical symmetry and by studies of those resonant approximation. It would be nice to just get some deeper understanding of structures behind this, why there are some terms which cancel out, how can we predict this exponent in polynomial taste of energy right before black hole formation? And interesting question, if there is this oscillatory blow up, can it be that it's somehow related to choppy critical solution? Studies so far indicate that the phase space of solution in ADS is fairly much more complicated than in asymptotically flat case, because there you can say that either you will form black hole or your perturbation will disperse. Here, this is not so trivial. There is an issue whether Minkowski in a box is a good model for Einstein-Klein-Gordon system with negative cosmological constant, because there in that particular setup, all three terms in resonant approximation will be present. So it would be interesting to look at this. Of course, proving the existence of time periodic solutions. There was some non-trivial debate on whether some initial data collapses or not. I found it interesting, and that this is just an example that simulation in ADS are highly non-trivial. We just rediscovered by looking at ADS that there is weak turbulence. So this is not a particular feature of ADS that there is this phenomena of weak turbulence, energy transfer, etc. This is all those phenomena are equally present in nonlinear wave equations on compact domains. I found it as a challenging problem for rigorous proofs and numerical methods to and this is just studying ADS dynamics is just a meeting point of theory of Hamiltonian PDEs and turbulence and high energy physics, and all this makes it very interesting and exciting field of research. So let me just thank you.
Do you have any questions for my
Chopped week, yes.
Yeah, pretty good position. I mean, why could it be anything else?
Could it be? Oh well. Could it be an?
Does he argue that when you're at the very formation of the black hole, or the thing about the singular position, you don't know about the AGS scale?
It doesn't know about the AGS scale. Yes. And this is fine-tuned to yes. But on the other hand, this resonant approximation works fairly well for amplitudes. Not so good. It's not so good for phases. And it may be that this is something different if you just neglect or not correctly resolve phases. So it's subtle. If I understand you correctly, so if this happens in Poincaré, you mean whether this is no, in Poincaré you just have a dispersive spectra. I mean Poincaré. Oh, this, yeah, okay. You mean that? Well, we never thought about this. So it could happen that, well, this.
Is there much
exponential.
One of those. So you could overstate it. Then you should.
I mean, this is a site. So it's good. Anything else?
So let me just, did you have a feeling? So I'm going back to the islands of stability and the islands of instability.
Yeah.
Take the epsilon going to zero, then the one will overwhelm the other one. Oh. We all have the same question, just trying to see what you're about getting.
Well, my argument would be this picture. Yes, this is an epsilon going to zero. So, what you are asking is what will be bigger or?
Yeah, so it could be that this plot, you could imagine that we know that some distance, epsilon, the stable island. This being a unstable line, I'm
no, the picture would be like here. So this will be a finite volume for collapse. And of course, I mean, oh well, this depends how you define a norm, measure. But there's certainly in the epsilon going to zero, there will be still islands, and then this will be this ocean. I don't know which one will be bigger. This is way too complicated. But at least there is a tool.
So what's your feeling about what's going to happen when you break spectral symmetry? Some amplitudes of this is going to happen faster or slower?
We're taking breaths.
Water.
it will be just, what I can say, just it will be much more complicated. It will be, it won't answer your question, but this will be much more complicated. It will be much more subtle, yeah. Much more subtle, I mean.
Along these lines, so you play this non-linear wave equation, right? So presumably, instead of looking in ADS, where it would be much more complicated, you can cook up some model, it's a non-linear scalar field. Right?
It would be nice to have some model, right. Yes.
So have you thought about that?
Well, so the idea behind our study, where it was precisely just to look at some simple wave equation.
This is
spherical symmetry, yeah.
I'd say it takes something like that and then breaks spherical
symmetry. Oh, well, just, yeah. We can talk after the talk, yeah, about this, yeah.
One last question? If not, let's thank Matthew again. Before we conclude, he's still here tomorrow, so.